Hey, here we are at the UFO Congress. I'm Jerry Pippin. Are we having fun yet? We certainly are. This is quite the traditional place to go for all kinds of people and interesting people. And I have a very interesting woman with us right now, and I think you'll enjoy this program. She's a certified hypnotist, a hypnotherapist, Yvonne R. Smith. And Yvonne, we've been running across each other for a couple of days now, and Paula Harris has talked to me about you, so I feel like you and I are old buddies.
We sure are, Jerry.
Yeah. Anyway, how are you?
I'm doing great, really enjoying my time here at the Congress.
Now, you've been here many times before as a as a visitor, but you've actually got a booth here and the whole thing this time.
Yes, I've over the last at least 10 years, I've attended the conference and met a lot of really nice people. Been invited, when I was attending the Congress over the years, been invited to Brazil and England.
Well, and we just had a lady on from Ireland says you're going there.
I'm going there in September, which is going to be very exciting. My first time in Ireland. You know, Jerry, it's always a pleasure and interesting for me to present my work in other parts of the world.
I'm sure it is.
See what the similarities are.
And are they similar?
They're very similar, and that's what makes this this work so interesting and so intriguing, because this is not just a California phenomenon, it's worldwide.
Let's talk a little bit about that in detail here in just a moment. You said the work and my work. Exactly what are we talking about here?
What I do, Jerry, as you mentioned, that I'm a certified hypnotherapist. My clients come to me because they, for many years, have gone through some very strange occurrences in their lives, and they're finally coming to terms to making sense out of what may have happened. They don't come to me and say, I think I've been abducted. They just know that they may have had some time missing, that they woke up with strange marks on their bodies overnight that they can't explain. So what I do in my work, I regress them back to a particular time and place, perhaps when they were a young child, or 10 years, you know, 10 years ago, or maybe last year.
Now, when you regress people, and they, not all of them appear to have been abducted, or is that true? All of them are.
Not everyone.
Okay.
Not everyone. And there's been instances where I've had to refer them to other colleagues.
Yeah, the reason I ask you that is because some people seem suspicious or convinced that maybe they've had an abduction experience or a contact experience. But it's not always true. I mean, right? They might think they have, and they haven't.
Exactly. And that's why this work has to be taken very seriously. What I do is I set up an initial consultation with my potential client before I even begin regression, to get some background on that person. I have them fill out a life history questionnaire. I find out if they've been to other traditional therapists. So there's a process that happens way before regression starts.
Do you remember the first time that you felt that you actually had a regression where there was an abduction experience? Was that that had to be a kind of a, I guess, a milestone, as they use in business today, in your career?
I do remember back, and I've been doing this for about 15 years now, and yes, I remember when
The reason I ask you that, I was wondering whether or not you anticipated that that's what you would find.
You know, I do not go into a session anticipating anything.
Okay.
And I don't go into a session
And there's no hidden reason for that question, by the way. I'm not trying to lay out something that...
Right. No, I understand. I understand the questioning. But I also do not ever plan a session. I don't go in saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to ask. And I don't know what's going to happen in a session, so I just... And the client that's in hypnosis, in regression, that's my first priority. Make sure if they go into some kind of disturbance or trauma because they do
relive
the trauma.
What are the odds of people who really still have traumatic experiences when they're in regressing? I mean, is about half the people, a third of them, or rarely? Or?
No, it's probably, I would say, at least half the people. What happens is they actually relive the traumatic experience. But a skilled hypnotherapist will be able to guide that person through the session and give them suggestions so that they're reporting it and not reliving the trauma or the pain.
Now what is your overall impression of what's going on with this abduction experience?
Well,
is it more or less one thing going on? Or is it always the same thing? In other words, is it a method of creating hybrids, or is it something else? Do you have a hunch?
The evidence shows, Jerry, that because they take ova from women, because they take sperm samples, because people are shown these tiny hybrid babies when they're on the craft, they also see adolescents. And they don't quite look
it
like
seems
us.
To me that it's almost pro forma that the mother does get to see the hybrid child at some time.
Yeah,
it almost always happens, doesn't it?
Almost always happens, but not just with the mother.
I've had a couple of guys tell me that they've been and shown their child.
They present the babies
to the men. One fellow was pretty emotional about it.
Absolutely.
And I was thinking at the time, I always thought that was more of a feminine reaction because it was literally out of their body. But I guess it's more or less the same thing.
It is, and I've had so many male clients become emotional as well when they reporting that
mm-hmm.
they're being shown this child and they're being told you have to love this child or show it love in order for this child to thrive and to live. And I have, you know, in my lecture presentation, I have artwork of.
Now, in your upcoming book, you have lots of artwork.
Lots of artwork. That was done by a professional artist, but also I have artwork done by the experiencer themselves, because that's all part of their therapy, is to draw what they remember during the course of their regression.
How many of these things have you done?
Regressions?
Hundreds?
Oh, I've done hundreds. I worked with
Is it more or less always the same thing, the same story?
Pretty much. The similarities are amazing, and these people don't know each other.
Right. I understand that. But from the same standpoint, this is so different than everyday life experiences. I guess even though you may have done it 400 times, 500 times, each time you probably are on a little edge when you're finding out about it.
Well, I'm still amazed after all these years of the details that come out during a regression and the emotion that is associated with these details that are coming out from a male or female client.
Yeah, I understand that. I've interviewed quite a few on the air in places like this. People come up and it's almost like a therapy. They want to talk about it.
You know, that's the beginning of the healing process, is when they begin to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
They're no longer holding this inside of them, and many of them have held it inside of them for many years. And it's just something that's haunting them, and they can't get on with their lives.
How long do you think this has been going on?
Oh, my gosh. For, at least with the abduction accounts, of course, as far back as the now famous case of Betty and Barney Hill, that happened in the early 60s.
I mean, it seems that some of these things run in families.
They do run in families. It's intergenerational.
So did it start with even them, or maybe even before them? We wouldn't know, but maybe this has been going on before that. We don't really have any idea, do we?
Well, in the research for my book, I've gone back about 2 to 3 generations, but of course it's difficult to go back
any further
than that, because a lot of the family members, of
here.
Course, are deceased.
Right.
But this starts in childhood. It follows the person throughout their lives. And as I mentioned, it is intergenerational, so their children are going to experience it, and their children.
So That's probably traumatic, too, because that's pretty well... There's support groups where these people get together and talk that have been abducted.
Yes, I founded my support group, Close Encounter Resource Organization, in 1991. And because I realized that after the client left my office, many times there was no one to talk to. They couldn't talk to their family members. They couldn't talk to coworkers. And so I formed the organization to provide them a safe haven once a month to come together and discuss what happened to them.
Now the big question, Yvonne, is you've obviously been involved in this for a long time, and it's one of your interests. How about your personal experience? Have you been abducted?
I have not, Jerry. I believe, and I'm asked that all the time, and I believe that...
Well, I didn't want to let you down and not ask it.
Well, okay.
Right.
Of course not. Why should you be different? I believe that I'm able to do this work. I have the gift to do this work, to help people along with their lives, because there is a need out there. Abduction researchers are very few and far between.
And I imagine, from what I gather from talking to people, you can get the wrong person to help you go through this, and it's not good.
That's the problem. I always caution people when I'm lecturing in different places that if they're looking for someone, to be careful that the person is qualified as a certified hypnotherapist, because it takes a skilled person to facilitate, to be their facilitator in this sort of work.
And how come you feel, and you're obviously, capable, so I'm not saying you're not, but how come you feel you're capable to do this work?
I think
Does it take a certain amount of compassion and passion?
It definitely does.
And understanding?
Jerry, it's like anyone can take the classes, the psychology classes and so forth to be certified, but not everyone can do particular work. I think that runs in any profession.
Any field, right.
It's almost, at times I feel like I have an inner gift, like a detective, like a police detective. Sure. You just know whether this person is actually experiencing an abduction or an encounter, or if they actually need further help.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we all, if we are attuned to ourselves, know more or less what we can do and what we can't do, whether we want to admit it or not. And many years ago, when I was doing music radio as a regular disc jockey, I said, I want to do these kind of shows, and the person that was backing me said, well, you've never done anything like this. Why do you think you can do this? And we're putting a lot of money behind you, and you better be able to deliver. And basically, they said that in nicer terms, maybe.
Right,
but,
right.
But the point is that we know if we're doing a good job, and you feel like you're doing a good job.
I do, and it's not, patting myself
it's not an ego thing. I'm talking about you just know you're doing it.
But only because I've seen...
You've seen the results.
The results, the healing. Yeah. I have my clients calling me that I worked with several years ago and thanking me again for allowing them to open up and discover what was actually happening to them, and they're able to get on with their lives.
Are you taking more clients?
Oh yes, and I get.
And they can find you on the website.
On the website, yes, and I get referrals from all over. I get emails now from everywhere. I just wish I could help everyone who's spread out.
Well, that was my next question. Do you do things by phone, or does it have to be personal? I mean, I don't know how you'd hypnotize me on the phone. Maybe you can.
I've done...
You've got nice eyes, so maybe you can, but you can't see that on the phone either.
I've done other therapies via telephone, but I'm still...
This is
not
still
sure
a personal
about doing
thing.
Regression, because that's okay. A whole different ballgame.
We got a break here coming up, and we'll be right back, and I want to get into a little bit of some of the cases you've worked on and talk about your upcoming book and some of the other places you're going. We'll be right back, and this is Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from the UFO Congress, and we have the lovely Yvonne R. Smith, and so don't go away. It happened almost 60 years ago, but the debate still rages. Did an alien spacecraft crash outside Roswell, New Mexico in 1947? The most concise and complete series ever broadcast on Roswell, direct from Roswell. New programs added weekly. Check it out on the UFO Files on JerryPippin.com.
About 8 or 10 miles
left. This is Jerry Pippin, and Yvonne R. Smith is our guest, and we're talking about hypnoregression, hypnotherapy, and we're talking about her experiences with abductees. And you have an upcoming book. What are you going to call this book?
The working title right now, Jerry, is Worlds Around Us, but I may include a subtitle as well.
And your sample book that you gave me here has lots of illustrations, and evidently, from what I understand from talking to you and other people, I believe Paula Harris told me, you use lots of illustrations, graphics, pictures, things like that in presentations.
Yes, I do. As I gathered all this information throughout the years from all of my cases, I thought it was important to present this to the audience, and what I'm trying to do is educate the general public and mainstream media that this is an actual event. This is a physical event that's going on with millions of people.
Are most of the women damaged for life because the fetus was taken, or do they pretty well live with it?
Well, that's where the therapy comes in, to start the healing. Now, I've had many of my clients that's happened to, but they've gone on and had their own children, earth children, and living, productive, happy lives. So, but
we're obviously talking not like something out of the old times where the giants came in the spaceship and grabbed the women and had their way with them. We're talking about implantation of a sperm.
Right.
It's not a sexual act. Actually.
It's not at all. It's a very clinical.
We got cynical using the female body as a warehouse.
That's right, and that's exactly what it is. They're used basically as incubators.
Then
they're shown. They have these very strange pregnancies. They feel pregnant. They know they're pregnant, and then all of a sudden they're not pregnant overnight. These fetuses are taken from their bodies.
Now, I talked to a person yesterday that not here, not even at this hotel, but across the street in a little restaurant, and they said they were very happy when the baby was taken. They said they had a party. Had you ever heard of that before on the ship? The people came and they the ETs and everybody, and they took the baby and they showed it more or less to her. I'd never heard that kind of story before.
Well, nobody used the term having a party, but they were aware of being surrounded by other alien beings as if being observed. Their reaction
was
absurd.
This woman took it as a happy event, and maybe that was just her reading of it and the way she could deal with it.
It was probably a happy event on their part.
Well, yeah.
That here's another, we've created another hybrid, and maybe that's what she was interpreting. But on the part of the woman,
what's the angle on the hybrids? What are they doing here?
You know, it seems. Over the years, in very recent years, it looks like the hybrids are becoming more and more perfected, so that eventually they'll be able to live among us, and we wouldn't be able to tell. For what reason, we don't know.
I have people telling me they already are, and they may well be, or they may not be, but this has been going on for a while. And the theories we have, if you follow a hybrid program, that can't be really good. There's something going on there.
Well, that's what's a little disturbing, because we still don't know what their ultimate plan is. I mean, obviously, these hybrid babies start growing into, you know, children, adolescents, teenagers, and we don't know, you know, really what the whole, what the purpose is. Basically,
the program, as far as you can tell, I imagine, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and if I am, you tell me, seems to me that they're creating half humans, half whatever these aliens are.
Yes, and that's what it is. But however, they're being so perfected now that they will no longer look like hybrids, as we call them. The babies are still, when they're created...
Well, what happens to the ones that you see that are obviously half alien, and now they have children by this perfection of implantation or whatever? I don't know how they do it. But the second or third generation down to perfect this thing, I wonder where these other half beings are. Are they on the ship? Or?
Well, that's, you know, we assume that they're still on the craft.
Yeah.
And because if they were down here, we'd be able to,
they are. No one has really ever told you during regression, because they probably don't know. It seems like it's a very controlled thing, the regression.
It's a controlled, yes. And you
they're,
know,
they're in an area and they see you very little. And
even when they ask a question, what are we doing? Why are you doing this? So many times they're not given a definitive answer. They're given a roundabout or nonsense answer. So it's almost that, you know, they're performing their, you know, operation. And
Do you have a sense of who these ETs are? Or is there more than one race? More than
I believe there's many races. I mean, across
in your regression therapy, if they describe beings doing this to them.
Oh, yes.
They're
different. And I'll have a lot of illustrations, you know, in my book, of course, but the small, what we call grays now, the hairless with the big eyes, seem to be the abductors taking the people onto the craft, and then they come across the taller grays, but seem to be a little bit more in charge, that perform some of the medical experiments. Then there's the praying mantis type, who also seem to be a little bit more in charge. And then the very human looking,
the Nordic type or whatever,
and what we feel those are the hybrids.
And we figured out who's the, you know, you mentioned the chain of command there. I wonder who's on top, who the big dog is.
Well, that's what it seemed to be. That's really funny. The taller ones, I've come across taller caped aliens with black capes that also seem to be of the higher echelon.
Oh, really?
But who the big cheese is, you know, I don't know who the ultimate head honcho is, but it does follow, you know, a chain of command up when once they're on the craft.
They don't actually come back and get the same woman again, do they?
They do. Oh, yeah, they do. It's an ongoing process.
In other words, they don't give them a break.
They may have a break of about a year or two at times for some reason, but then it's...
Do you think that they'd select this woman because of genetics and physical reasons, or do you think it's just easy to keep it in the family?
You know, we're not sure why someone is quote-unquote selected, but we know that once the abductions begin... with that particular person, it just follows the family line, and it really is a cross section.
And no one's ever explained to anybody why they were chosen.
Right, not really. But the ones that are having these experiences are told that when the time comes and when the time is right, they will know what their purpose is. And there, I think, just every one of my cases has been told that.
Well, by that statement, it seems like maybe it won't be too long.
Well, Jerry, I don't know. That's what we've been saying since the year 2000.
Yeah.
There's going to be this big revelation, and, you know, I don't think, I'm not going to hold my hopes out.
You're not one of these that thinks you're going to find out. Well, I'm not even talking necessarily officially. If events overtake official actions, there's not much officials can do about it, is what I'm saying. If eventually you'll know something, then that indicates that maybe something will happen down the line. And I'm not talking about you'll pick up the newspaper mm-hmm. and read the official communique. I'm talking about it will be obvious why everybody's... Now, I've had some abductee people think that maybe they're going to be used for something.
That's the thing. I was talking to the experiencers when I was conducting the sessions the last two nights, and I asked for a showing of hands of how many people were told that they have a special function or they're going to be, you know, we'll use the term ambassadors to hundreds, leading hundreds of people. Where they're going to lead them, they don't know.
In other words, you think it's just as likely that they might become goodwill ambassadors as my fear that they may become stepford wives. In other words...
That's the thing, Jerry. Yeah, we don't know. I mean, it would be wonderful to say, you know, this is all going to be for the good, you know, but the evidence points to, you know, these hybrids being perfected... You know, and they're going to be put here on Earth, and for what purpose?
Do most of these women and men, but mainly the women I'm interested in, but there's a lot of men involved, aren't they, in the procreation?
Absolutely.
Does the rest of the family know they've done this? I mean, they don't even tell their family, their mates sometimes, do they?
Many times they don't, but... Once they start talking, once they start going through the process of regression, they're very curious about their family members, and they'll start talking and asking questions.
Well, yeah, you would think, well, gee, I did it. I wonder if I've been doing it to my wife.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that would be a...
And there have been, I've had many couples, many married couples that this has happened to.
You're right.
So, you know, but it's a process. It's a process with these people, and they start finding answers, and that's where, as I mentioned before, that's where the healing begins.
Well, we're talking with Yvonne here, and it's been very interesting. I think the time is almost up. I'm not sure. I know you're going to be in Roswell.
Yes, I will be. I'm very excited. I cannot believe, Jerry, that it's already the 60th anniversary of the Roswell incident.
And that's the one reason I brought that up, not only to mention you're going to be there, and we'll be there too, so our paths will cross there for
sure.
Wonderful. In fact, there we'll probably do some shows very similar to this, only we're going to have an audience with a chance for them to, and we'll be the only show in town. Instead of here, we're in the lobby.
Oh, that'll be wonderful.
And so the audience can ask you questions. And here, we don't do that because we don't want to interfere with the regular program.
Right. Oh, that'll be great, Jerry. It'll be great to see you there.
Yeah, and so we'll have fun doing that. By that time, your book may be out, huh?
That's what I'm talking to my editor and publisher and saying that we've got to do this. You know, it's a lot of work. I'm still making changes and adding. I'm going to have a lot of color photos. So keep your fingers crossed for me, Jerry, that I'm going to have my book there.
I'm pulling for you.
Thank you.
Where are you going to be? Are you going to be in Ireland in September or December?
Well, Ireland in September.
Okay.
And also up in the Bay Area in September. I will be in Rome in late March.
Oh, well, you get the world traveler here.
Oh, I love it. I just love sharing and presenting my work to the European audience.
How is that audience? They seem to be a little more open to me. I have about 35% of our listeners are overseas.
They are very open. When I have spoken a couple times to the Italian audience, I might have people coming up to me afterwards and saying, you know, and they've had to have somebody interpret, but
sure.
They're saying that this has happened to them when something that some visual that they see strikes a chord within them.
You need to pick up on your Italian a little bit, I guess.
I do. I can understand it because I can speak a little Spanish, so it's helped me when I'm in Italy.
Oh, well, como está usted?
Okay. Muy bien, Jerry.
Yeah, that's about it.
That's about it.
Now I'm in trouble. Let's see. We've enjoyed it. Keep looking out for Yvonne R. Smith and her book. And when it comes out, we'll let you know. And we'll see her in Roswell. She has a website. What's the website?
www.ysmith.com.
And we will stay in touch. And it's been a pleasure meeting you.
Jerry, thank you so much for having me.
Okay, we'll be right back with more of the UFO Conference, so don't go away. The biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers, UFO and Alien Disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
Photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers, now available on DVD for only $19.95 at ShopJerryPippin.com.